There are tons and tons of people heading out to the Fest for Beatles fans this weekend, and one of them is a lady that we have wanted to reconnect with for much too long a time.
She is a legend in broadcasting, and she is, she's on the line with us right now to talk about the Fest, but I'm just tickled to say hello to Terry Hemmert.
Hey, Terry.
Well, I'm tickled to say hello to two great veterans myself. I've been fans of yours from day one, you know, so, man. And some things just don't get old, like good people on the radio and the Beatles.
You know, we all have a face
Sing
for radio.
Yeah,
that's true. My mom used to tell me that all the time.
Did she? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, Terry has spent a few decades behind a microphone and also teaching at Columbia College. And I'm a Columbia College alum, so I'm real proud to know. Yeah, you've been there forever.
And I think, Terry, I hate to date us with this, but I think I know the first time I saw you in person was in the 70s when I was at the Once Big 89, and you were nice enough to ask me to speak to one of your classes at Columbia College.
Oh, my lands. Yep, I remember. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it was incredible because I've been teaching there for getting close to 50 years.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
And before their parents were born.
Yeah.
They're great kids.
How many years have you been involved in the Fest for Beatles fans?
Well, since the beginning, and that's over 40. The first year I wasn't there because they didn't know. The Lupitas family had never heard of me. They lived out in New Jersey, and, of course, we didn't have the internet then. And my sister and I went out of curiosity, a little skeptical because a lot of times people do things in the name of the Beatles, and it's not so great.
Yeah.
But we went and had a fantastic time. And I actually won a door prize. I got a single of Obladi Oblada. And when I went up to claim it, the MC was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's Terry Hemmert from XRT, blah, blah, blah. And so when I went up to claim it, the kids went wild. They were, like, coming up for autographs because the Beatle wasn't there. So I was the next, I was the fifth Beatle.
That's cool.
And Mark and Carol Lupitas came over and they go, who are you? What's going on? And the next year they said, would you like to be our MC? And I said, yep, and done it ever since.
Terry, this is like a scene in a movie.
I love it.
You know, the whole thing. Now, the festival it was on hold for the last 2 years because of the pandemic. So this
That's
is a really
right.
big deal that you're all back together again starting
We can't
tomorrow.
Wait because it is a gathering of the tribes. There's something about Beatle fans that they love to be together, and we just love to hear the music and sing along and hear from people that have written some great books about the Beatles or people like Billy J. Kramer. He's there again this year. And Peter Asher, Peter and Gordon, and they're contemporaries of the Beatles, had a lot of hits themselves, and they knew them. In fact, John Lennon wrote a couple songs for Billy that he had hits with. And then, of course, Peter Asher, involved his sister, was Paul's girlfriend through the 60s, Jane Asher. So there are a lot of connections to be had. Plus, we have Mark Lewisohn, who is the ultimate writer on the Beatles. Long before I got to know him, he was my go-to guy because I could just tell the level, academic qualities he has, and yet very entertaining, too. But if he says it happened, because he researches like crazy. And he's the one Paul and Ringo go to when they wanted, like, the book on the anthology and other things. So he's... I do have a beef, though, that he's doing this three-volume history of the Beatles, and he's got the first volume out, and it's about 900 pages, you know. So I'm ready for volume two, and he's past due. And I said, I'm not going to live long enough.
Stop.
I mean, wherever I end up, I hope I can still have access to Beatle books. But, you know, I said, get out of here and go home and write that book.
That's
he's
great.
A great writer. But he'll be there, too. So
We're talking with Terry Hemmert, and we're talking about the Fest for Beatles fans that's this weekend starting Friday. And the venue is the Hyatt Regency O'Hare. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more Beatles with Terry.
Gently weeps.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and for Lisa Dent on Chicago's Afternoon News. And the Chicago Fest for Beatles fans is going on this weekend, and we're fortunate to talk with one of our favorite people. We have breakfast with her and the Beatles quite frequently. That would be your Terry Hammert. And Terry, I want to share a moment in my life that was one of those very formative, life-changing moments. Like you, I was in front of the TV when the first Beatles show on Ed Sullivan. But even more significant to me than that, somewhere in my collection, I have the $5 ticket from the night that I saw the Beatles at Comiskey Park.
Ooh, 65, yeah.
Oh, were you there then?
No, well, I was still in Ohio. I was in high school. And
you didn't make the trip?
Well, that's a long drive. I just barely got my driver's license. But I was closer to Cincinnati, and they played there 3 years. And the first 2 years, my mom says, you're not going to Cincinnati. And the third year, I was a senior in high school. So in fact, I'd be graduated by then. And she said, well, okay, you can go. So I bought I think it was a $3.50 ticket because it was up in the nosebleed section of Crosley Field. But I was all ready to go, and I won some award for junior achievement, and I had to go to Indiana for a week. And, oh, my gosh, I almost cried when I got on the bus, and we went right by Crosley Field. I never got to see them live, but I did get to meet two of them, and I went into radio to meet the Beatles, really. You remember Jim Stagg?
Who was of course.
Yeah.
Jim Stagg, I saw a picture of him when I was in high school interviewing Ringo, and the light bulb went off, and I thought, if I got to be a disc jockey, I could meet the Beatles. And I got to meet Jim Stagg, too, which was a bonus because he was a lovely man. And in fact, I know his family now. They're just great people. But I got to tell Ringo that story a couple of years ago, and he loved it because he remembered Jim. You know, Jim was a class act.
Did you meet Paul?
Yeah, I've met Paul so many times. Paul acts like we're old friends, and we're not. I mean, but I got to admit, I told him a story once about my mother doing When I'm 84 instead of When I'm 64 at her recital at her you know, retirement home. He loved that so much. I have it on tape of him singing When I'm 84. He went nuts about it. Talked about it on Ellen DeGeneres and Good Morning America stuff, and my mother got a big kick out of that.
Wow.
And now his latest book about all the lyrics that he's written since the very beginning, even before the Beatles made a record, all the way through his solo career. And I was speaking about the Beatles at my alma mater, Elmhurst College, in January, and I mentioned that story. And the teacher pointed out that Paul wrote about it in his book. So I went home, and there it was. I checked it out. He told that story again years later in that book of his.
You mentioned Elmhurst College. And we've had people say, you know, you're talking to Dr. Hammert.
Oh, yes.
I said, yes, we know.
I do own up to the fact that I was on academic not salvation, but academic. It was the kind of thing where they wrote letters to your parents and said, tell her to get serious, or she can't just hang out in the campus radio station all day. Yeah, so I was on probation, but I made a big comeback and ended up on Dean's List. But as my dad said, you don't get credit for a last-ditch effort, but I made it.
Well, doctor, I want to share a moment with you, doctor. My child bride's anatomy was changed forever by the Beatles.
The night the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan television, I cut my little finger off. And I remember crying as they were taking me to the hospital saying, but, the Beatles.
No.
Yes. I was 8 years old, and I'm sitting in the middle of a hide-a-bed that had been pulled out for me and my girlfriend to sit in and to eat our bowl of ice cream. And the Beatles were on television, where at least they were going to be on television. I never got to actually see them. And I said, let me run our bowls back to the kitchen. And I jumped off the bed. And as I'm running to the kitchen, she grabs me by the back of my nightgown. And I dropped the bowl. I fell on top of the bowl, and I cut my little finger off. And they looked, and in fact, my father passed out when he looked at my hand.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And I remember I would obviously was in shock, but I just kept saying, but you don't understand. The Beatles are on television. And I cried the whole way to the hospital because I didn't get to see the Beatles on television that night.
Oh, you didn't get your ice cream either.
I did. That was horrible. And I never will run an empty dish back to the kitchen again. That was it for me. Gosh.
Well, you know, it's amazing. We were very young when the Beatles were on TV, and there are people that are that age now that are huge Beatle fans.
Yes.
I can't get over all the variety of backgrounds and, you know, genders. Well,
the generations and, you know, that go together to the Fest for Beatles fans.
And they really know their Beatles stuff, too.
Yeah.
I mean, even at the festival, the little kids are just adorable. They're up there dancing, and they know all the words to all the songs, and they're in bands. You know, we get the Sound-alike contest, and we get, you know, kids that are in junior high playing Beatles songs.
That's so
fantastic.
Cool. Now, are you working the whole weekend?
Oh, every minute.
All right.
Marathon. But Breakfast with the Beatles will air Sunday morning, though. I took care of that, so that will be on because we don't start the Fest till noon.
Yeah.
Noon to midnight. 5 to midnight Friday, that's my slacker day, and then the other 2 days are noon to midnight, and then Monday morning I crawl out of bed and get my car and go home.
We'll be right there with you, and I'm going to do it in audible. Off the air, I'm going to ask our producers to give you our private numbers. Sometime, let's just get together for a lunch, brunch, whatever.
Chew the fat.
I would love that.
Let's do it.
As long as you don't have a secret microphone under the
table. Oh, no.
Darn.
I'm trying to get stories out of me. I know how you
darn.
Work.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Well, come back to Columbia College sometime, too. The kids are fantastic.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, and they keep me honest. I mean, I learn so much from them, too. And any teacher listening will know that if you aren't learning from your students, it's time to pick another career.
Absolutely.
And a couple of them have worked at our station here, like our morning guy, Marty Leonards, was my intern.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's in my class, and I got him. I said, can you, I was supposed to do the morning show for 4 weeks. It turned into 11 long years. I said, could you be my producer for 4 weeks? And he said, sure.
And
he's still here. That was 1981.
Wow. Terry, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was great to talk to you.
You too.
It's been a long time. Okay.
It's wonderful to talk to you. We love you. Hold on for a second, and we'll share some phone numbers off the air. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. WGN.